Romans 12 is where we're starting tonight, and what I want to do is start a bit of a series that will not necessarily go a dozen weeks in a row, but one that we'll come to every now and then, and it's a series on a phrase we find repeated over and over in our New Testament, and the phrase is one another, one another. And if you looked in your bulletin, it says part of one another, and that may or may not continue to be the working title for the series, but we're going to look at New Testament places where the Lord instructs us, teaches us, displays for us how we as a church are part of one another. And the first one that we're going to look at tonight is here in Romans chapter 12, and it's in verse 10. It says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." As I was thinking about that word, outdo, I thought about something that happens sometimes among guys. And sorry that this illustration is so gender specific. Ladies, perhaps you can think of something that's similar or would fit. But every now and then, guys will be sitting around and the topic will come up. And it could be any topic, but I'm going to pick one tonight of cars you used to own that were lemons, right? Every guy in his life has owned that car that was either he bought as a piece of junk or he drove it so long it became a piece of junk, right? And the story will start out something like, yeah, I remember, you know, you're talking about the cold weather and ice on the windshield and whatnot. And a guy will say, yeah, I remember I had a car and the heater didn't work. So I'd be driving down the road and the ice would form on the inside of the windshield and I'd have to scrape it off while I'm driving. And another guy says, oh yeah, you think that's bad. I had a car, right? And you can just kind of fill in the blank. And the next guy says, oh yeah, I had a car. And some of you are telling stories right now about the car you had. We could have fun and even just have people tell stories. I'd start with Scott Staley. Scott, how bad of a car now? Yeah, no, come on, tell us. This, now I'm interested. Granada. We had you at Granada. You had the worst car here. That's great. The only thing worse would be a Pinto, right? I had a Pinto. Oh, Tom Spence had a Pinto. Dan Hickson had a Pinto. No, I've heard about yours. You couldn't get it up the hill. Alpha. Oh, it's different. So. Dan Herbster did. I mean, Dan Hickson did not have a Pinto. All right, so, and it ends up, somebody's got a car and it looked like something out of the Flintstones, right? You know, that's how bad the car was. Guys like to sit around and outdo each other with their stories, right? Little guys like to outdo each other with like their wrestling and their silly antics and all that. Older guys, we don't have energy to do that, so we'll just tell a story about how bad things get. We outdo each other. Now, ladies, I didn't want to cast you in a bad light, so I'm not real sure exactly how that goes in your conversations, but we understand the idea of outdoing one another. And what the Lord tells us is we need to outdo one another in preferring one another or in showing honor. The King James tells us to prefer one another in love. And I think this is a great place for us to start as we consider the New Testament's instruction about one another. We are supposed to be outdoing one another in showing honor. Now, it's not a matter of competition where, oh, I see so-and-so has shown some honor to some other believers. Well, I can do that better. It's not motivated out of arrogance. It's motivated out of that exemplary behavior. So it's more a matter of, you know, I notice how so-and-so is showing honor to other believers in our church, and I'd never thought of doing that. I think I could do that. You don't have to necessarily think I could do that better, but there is the idea of doing what you see and more. Taking it to the next level in showing honor to those around us because we are part of each other. I want to take this idea in Romans 12:10 to outdo one another in showing honor and apply it to some of the illustrations we looked at this morning. I'm just going to apply it to the body, to the family, and the flock. We won't go through all of them. But What would it mean to outdo one another in showing honor when we think of ourselves as a body? And that's where I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what I had in mind. So if you want to join me in 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read a bit of a passage that gives us this example of the body. Now, this is, in 1 Corinthians 12, the other body illustration. I mentioned this morning that the church as a body is illustrated two different ways. In one way, the body has the head, who is Christ. And then the other way is the body has many members, but we are one. And some are ears, and some are eyes, and some are hands, and some are feet. And this is that second illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to begin our reading in verse 12, and then we'll go down to verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We want to outdo one another in showing honor because we are a body. And you're going to see how Paul tells us in this passage where we give honor and how we should think of each other in this body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body, implying either. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And immediately I see a character from the movie Monsters, Inc. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? That's a monster. That's not the body of Christ. We move on. If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. It's good to read a chunk like that, and I must be honest, I'm thankful for a modern English version that helps to, I think, bridge the connections in these verses better for our 20th and 21st century ears. And so as we go through this, I think there's less for me to explain, and there's a lot for us just to say, yeah, that's what it says. In particular, it talks about the honor that we give to various parts of our body and how we cover them or clothe them or treat them with modesty, and how we think about what's important on our body and what's not important. We can talk about the vanity of 21st century America. The reality is that vanity is not confined to our day and our location. Vanity has been a human problem for a long time. That's why the Greeks came up with the story of Narcissus, who was so taken with himself that he looked in the pond all the time and suffered the punishment or the due reward of his introspection and vanity. And so as we think about our bodies, there are parts that we think are so important, but the reality is there are parts that are extremely important. We won't get into an anatomy lesson tonight, but we can think about how verses 21 down to 26 play out in reality. As we think about that, we then recognize that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is saying to us that within the body of Christ, there is a unity of purpose, but not a uniformity of function or form or style. And within that unity of purpose and the multiplicity of form, function, and style, God makes us a fully functioning unit. And so we need to outdo one another in giving honor in spite of the differences, as those differences are put together for the glory of Christ. As I think about our local church body, and we are not the body, we're part of the body, but as I think about our local church family, I'm going to name a variety of ministries, and I'm not doing this because I think some are better than others or some are worse, but just as representative samples. I would love for us to outdo one another in showing honor to those who work in the nursery, because though it might be out of sight and out of mind, if it were not there, we would be recognizing the need for a nursery. I think my child might be the first example of that. In terms of her squalling or crying or need or whatever the case may be. When we have a nursery and children who are of too young an age to be in the service are well taken care of, that's a benefit to the whole body. And so could we outdo one another in showing honor there? We have trustees and deacons who take care of things in our building that many of us have no idea what's going on. Every now and then, someone will mention to me something that's broken and has been fixed and needs payment. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was a problem. Because somebody has taken care of it. No one sees it. Not a big deal. It's one of those behind-the-scenes things. We've had some leaks in a few places with the heavy snow. And thankfully, we haven't had any more leaks on the platform or where any of you are sitting over here. I think we had that last year, and those are taken care of. But a couple leaks in some other places. People come in, they take care of those, they do the research, they get in touch with people, and they are a bit unsung. But oh, how vital and how necessary, so that we don't have to shell out hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to get things fixed. So folks like that. Musicians, we see and hear them week in and week out, and things just kind of seem to go, and we expect musicians to be here because they're here week in and week out, but there's a lot of work that goes into that. Do we outdo one another in showing them honor? As we look here in these verses, it talks about giving honor. It talks about bestowing great honor. It talks about our connection one with another. And I would encourage us to be taking what Romans 12 has to say and thinking about it in terms of the fact that we are a body. And we need to be striving to, even as it were, outdo one another in love. Whether it's a text message to someone whose cell phone number is in the church directory, whether it's a quick email, whether it's the old-fashioned way with a handwritten thank you note, let us show honor to others. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. What this does is it gives to us this camaraderie. It gives to us this, it gives expression to the reality that we are all in this together. That others notice and value the unity of purpose we have, whether that unity is to worship God in song, whether that unity is to give attention to the Word, whether that unity is just for us to have a place that's well taken care of and is conducive to us meeting together. And I could multiply the examples. For sake of time, I'll just go with those. And then even tonight, as we have prayed for each other, verse 26 says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. This honor is not simply noting the good that others do. For even as the King James says, we are preferring one another in love. But it is giving to others the attention that is due the situation they find themselves in. And so if one member suffers, all suffer together. Many of the folks that we prayed for tonight are not here tonight because of what they're experiencing. And a phone call or a quick sort of communication in some way would let them know that they are a part, and that we are one, and we are together, and we are connected. not simply because we're in this building, but we're connected because of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so even in this aspect, let us outdo one another in preferring one another. You know, I had three examples tonight. I'm just going to go with two. And so let's just look at one more. A few books over, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Outdo one another in showing honor. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Outdo one another in showing honor. Galatians 6:10 says to us, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Galatians 6:10, we talked about this morning, points out the fact that one of the illustrations or analogies that Scripture gives to us for the church is that of a family. And so as we ponder a family, let us consider this reality that even within a family unit, there is honor that is given. Whether in your family it was that oldest brother or oldest sister that gets looked up to, whether it's a patriarch who received honor, who lived to a good old age and did those sorts of things that really brought together family unity. Maybe it was a mother who gave selfishly and lived selflessly, and therefore received honor. We've known of those sorts of family situations where honor is given. Well, in our own setting, and I want to take this larger concept of the household of faith, and I think rightly apply it even to our particular church. You know, we should be doing good to Christians. We work with believers. We interact with believers in our neighborhood or other contexts. And while we do good to even other Christians of the household of faith, I think we can rightly say we should also especially be doing good and giving honor to those in our midst, those who by their labors have shown that they are exemplary, to give honor to those who even would need that encouragement. You know, when we look at Romans 12 and verse 10, it doesn't necessarily give us reasons to give honor. It doesn't point out that there are people who are deserving of it, and then there are other people who are not. But it's a matter of us doing good to give that encouragement, to give that that compliment where the compliment is due, to find ourselves as part of an encouraging team. That is a little different from the family concept, but you and I know that as families, we can either encourage each other, our biological families, we can encourage each other and stick together, or our biological families can come at loggerheads and be, all of a sudden the word has escaped me, dysfunctional. We can be not on speaking terms, etc. Perhaps that's how the holidays were for some of you. That's not how it should be in the church. And so if we are seeking to outdo each other in showing honor to one another, we're not going to have that sort of divided family feel, but we will have a united family feel. I think that that the opportunities we have to spend time together can help to foster that. And I think that I'm very encouraged about those possibilities. Body, family. I said I wasn't going to do the third one. It's flock, and I'll let you think about that one on your own. We are compared to sheep, and we need guidance and help. And I'll let you think about how, taking God's analogy of a flock, we can think of honoring one another and outdoing one another. Maybe that'll be your assignment for the week. Go to John chapter 10. Think about the flock that we are. We outdo each other. We seek to outdo each other in so many different aspects of our lives, and so many of those really have a negative context. We are a naturally competitive people. We're a naturally jealous people, and we seek to outdo each other in things that don't matter. In Romans 12:10, we are given a challenge and a command to outdo each other in that which is good, and we're given this almost good competition in that. We are part of one another, and as one another, let's be showing honor to one another, looking around at how others do that, and seeking for God's credit and for the good of our brothers and sisters to outdo them in showing honor to each other.